Cat Attack Podcast, thanks to Kurz Hire. AFLW Round 1 is in the books. Unfortunately, a 16-point loss for the Cats going down to Freo, 44-28 at Fremantle Oval, and back jet-lagged after the flight home. Three-hour time difference, it's a pain in the backside. Renee Guerin, good afternoon.
Yeah, good day, King. I'm a little bit tired this afternoon. Got through the day at school, but yeah, we'll sleep well tonight.
So two nights over there?
Yeah, two nights, which was actually really nice to have the two nights together. And after the game, it would have been nicer to have the win and then to be celebrating that evening and hanging out. And I think there would have been a bit more excitement. Everyone was a bit tired and flat as you are after a loss, but still nice to spend that time together.
Not much to do in old Perth Town on a Sunday night though, is there?
Oh, look, I think we would have played a few more board games and stuff, but everyone was just wrecked and tired, I think, from the waking up at 4 a.m. and then trying to get back to sleep.
Yep. Talk to us about the game. Competitive, scores tied three-quarter time, and you're in front at stages in the third quarter as well, but they got on top of you in the end. And I spoke to Hoodie Sunday night. In the end, 48-13 inside 50s, you're not going to win many games of footy when you're minus 35.
No, I think that's a credit to our defence in the midfield. The girls holding off when those numbers are there, and it did, like, it just kept coming in that last quarter. And to Frio's credit, they made the most of it in the end. But yeah, to our girls to be able to hold off until the very end was a credit to them.
Yep, you spent most of the game in the forward line. Could you sense it that the ball just spent so much time on the Fremantle side of the, you know, sort of, you draw an imaginary line through the middle of the, from wing to wing?
Yeah, it was definitely, for me, that's a new role and to sit outside it and to want to be helping and impacting, but actually knowing that to be out and to be sitting off, that's what I need to do to set up and to be ready when it does come on. Because we came, I think, second or third quarter, we had two inside 50s and we got two goals off it because we were able to use that space that we did have. So, but it was just that we wanted to help get involved, and it just kept going back in there, unfortunately.
Yeah. How much are you holding back from what your, I suppose, footy knowledge so far has told you to go and see ball, get ball and be at the contest? Is that really hard to hold yourself back?
It is, just because I want to help, but I'm also, I like to think of myself as a team player and wanting to play whatever role that is. And the more I'm learning about the forward role, it is that actually by holding out, I'm holding a player out. And if it does, we do get a quick getaway, or when the girls look up, they need to see us not on top of them, but actually that space away so that we're set up in front of the ball really well. And if it does go to our tools, that we're there to support that too.
Yep. You had the trip over and back. Who'd you sit next to on the way over?
Who was it on the way over? Denby Taylor, actually.
Because you are shorter of stature, do you find yourself in the middle seat?
No. We were just joking about that, actually. Quite a few of the shorter girls in the team, we've often ended up with the most room. I didn't on the way over, actually. I was just in the middle, which was good. But, yeah, it has been the last year I traded with Erin Hall quite a few times because I ended up with the exit row and she was back amongst the group.
Oh, no.
It was fine this trip. Did a few quizzes on the way over and tried to get the mind ticking. A bit of online games against each other, actually, on the way back. Spent a bit of time, but a bit of schoolwork to get done at the same time.
So Denby on the way over, who'd you cop on the way back?
And then on the way back, it was Maddie Carrick and Anina and a couple other girls around. So, yeah, plenty of chatting happening.
Yep. Anybody that just switches off, puts the headphones on, and, you know, by the time you take off from Tullamarine, the head's back in there.
Yeah, there's quite a few of those. There's lots of movies, particularly on the way back. Everyone was just tired. So Geordie Ivy's one, headphones on. Phoebe as well.
Yep.
Musahiki, a few movies
find,
on, I think.
Find their own space.
And yeah.
Don't talk to me. What's the seating like? I know AFL teams get looked after in a way on Virgin flights, rows and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so we had the front section, I suppose, in that where there's a little bit more room, yep. And then as
Economy X.
I think that's what it's called, and then back a little bit where the exit rows are as well. So we're kind of in two portions in the plane. So we do like to try and keep moving whilst we're on there. Got told to sit down a few times as we were lingering in the aisles chatting with each other, but that's what girls will do.
They don't let you do that anymore. You can't just stand up and talk and things have all changed, unfortunately,
on
planes. I can understand why, but the day of having the chat up the back of the plane with a couple of mates is it's out the window, unfortunately. So you've got three interstate trips, haven't you? So you sort of, you know, you'll get a routine this season with those, and I think one of those you've got to go to Mackay.
Yeah, the Mackay trip. Actually, I think it's two flights to get there, so that'll be a new experience. But obviously, that was the longest flight to Perth that we'll get. So, I think definitely even from this weekend, from last year, the experience we had last year and knowing what works for people, people were doing their own thing and going to bed whenever they felt they didn't feel like they were missing out if they didn't come and hang out in the lounge and all those sorts of things. So, that experience. But yeah, the three more. So it's good.
All right, let's talk about the game in terms of some stars. Liv Purcell just took off from where she left off from season 2019. I think had 27 possessions. And we all got caught up in Rocky's goal, but the pickup by Liv on that outer wing to set it up was something to watch.
Yeah, one-hand pickup and then just the speed to get away and then to get there, boot to ball out into space for Rocky was, she was amazing. All throughout the game, Liv, you just... you saw her breaking through packs and just creating that space for us and getting the ball moving up forward on quite a number of occasions.
There'll be some people listening to this who watched a lot of local footy and would have seen Liv's dad, Kane, do that on numerous occasions for North Shore or St Mary's during his time. It was like watching a carbon copy of Kane doing it in local footy, just what Liv did with that pickup, and I know where she gets it from.
Oh, she's exciting. And I've actually coached her little sister. She goes to the school that I teach at. So she's an exciting one to watch. A little bit more height than Liv as well, but the same tenacity and agility through the middle. So
is she on the radar?
She's coming through. I think she's been part of the Falcon squad and the Next Gen Academy and things like that. So she's in year 10 now.
Yep. Mm. Okay. So she won't be too far away. Fingers crossed from potentially another Purcell, which would be fantastic. Maddie Carrick's game was really probably her best game for Geelong.
Oh, she was great back down back. Obviously, a lot of intercept marks, but also her execution, bringing that and really clean ball use out of the back line, and she had a lot of those kick-ins, and particularly a tough day out against that wind in that back pocket was really difficult. But she just kept kicking it out and getting into the space and creating opportunities for us.
Did you get around Nina at all and get a sense of how she was before running out for her first game since doing the knee?
Yeah, no, she was really excited. She plays things like just very cool, as Nina does. But
nothing phases her much, does it?
No. So she was great in the lead in. Just let's do what we need to do and get into it. But I think excited at the same time. A lot of work. To get excited to get into it.
Yep. Three debutants. What were they like before the game?
Yeah, I think a bit nervous. Obviously, there is a big difference between the AFLW and the VFLW, but I think knowing all of us really well from the program and the get-go, and Millie knows a lot of the young girls from playing NAB League stuff with them as well, and she's quite a confident young girl. So they were all, as you would be, as we all were. Round one, I think it is, everyone's got those nerves and that excitement and just wanted it to start, and especially being one of the last games of the round, watching all the other games as the weekend went on, those nerves build, but also the excitement of it.
Have you become a footy nuffy? Like, did you, like, obviously you flew Saturday, so you would have missed, had time in the air, but Friday night, Carlton Richmond, were you front of the square in front of the box?
Yeah, I watched that at home. Definitely watch a lot of football, and my husband's an AFLW fan just as much as he is the men's footy, so we watch all the games together, and then if I miss a game and he's watching it, he'll be sending me texts about how's it going.
Has he married the perfect woman, basically, in terms of that you're playing AFLW, which means he can watch as much footy as he wants?
Well, it's definitely helped. I definitely didn't watch as much football as I did when I was a netballer. I'd be keen for a movie on a Friday night, but now it's changed my view completely, and I'm like, yep, let's watch footy. I enjoy it a lot more than I used to.
All right, so that's in the books. We now look ahead to Brisbane Sunday, first home game at GMHBA Stadium, 1:10 on Sunday afternoon. Was Brisbane beating Adelaide your surprise of the round?
Yeah, look, there's a couple of surprises, actually, I think, throughout
Melbourne,
the weekend.
Melbourne beating the Kangaroos.
Yeah, as well. Look, that was definitely a surprise, but we know that Adelaide's, unfortunately, with their injuries at the moment, they didn't have their full lineup, and their stars were stars, but ultimately Brisbane has played a really... good game. So we'll obviously review that this week and see what we can do. But, it was an interesting game to watch, let's just say that.
Yeah. Did you watch any of the Giants and the Suns?
No, we missed that game. We saw the scoreline once we arrived in Perth. But, Yeah, I heard the conditions weren't ideal for that one. Very low scorer.
If anybody was going to take Geelong's unwanted record of the last ever AFLW score, it was probably going to happen last week, and they both shaded, like, what, I think one was nine, one was eight.
Yeah, it was very, very low that game. But, I heard someone was telling me that a lot of other sporting matches were cancelled in that area over the weekend, and that was one of the only games to go ahead.
Call the races off and all that sort of stuff as well. Other teammates, who is the biggest footy nuffy?
Danielle Higgins, I'd say.
Really?
She loves football. Like, obviously, growing up with her brother playing, she knows players from way back.
Yep.
So she'll chat with the coaches and things that maybe those are a little bit older that know a lot about football, and she can chat all day football. So I'm certainly learning a lot from her, but she loves it.
Yeah. Is it somebody who knows the other AFLW teams inside out?
I'd say Phoebe McWilliams. She has played football for a long time. Asta O'Connor, same. So the girls that have been in the system a really long time. Lissa Hickey, she hasn't played as probably as long as Asta and Phoebe have, but they've played with and against girls all throughout. They've played the state league when it used to be, and even like the old sorts of competitions, the old national championships, that sort of stuff. So they know the people that have been in the system a long time, and then Asta also knows, working for the AFL, she knows a lot of the young girls coming through too.
Yeah, she worked through the pathway. Is she still doing that pathway stuff? Daisy Pierce has given hope to any player that thinks maybe I can sneak a year off to have a child, that she can come back and still have an impact. That was incredible.
Incredible. I watched that actually on the Friday night game, her story, and just amazing to see the work. And I think she seems like, I don't know Daisy, but a very determined, motivated individual and, real character. So I can't imagine it was easy, but she's certainly shown that it can be done, and with twins. So a credit to her. We want to see more of that. I think that, whilst we still can, I think there needs to be that pathway and that opportunity for people to find that work-life balance, even in footy.
Yep. Well, we know Jess Duffin's missing the year for North Melbourne.
Yeah.
I think she played a bit of the cricket season and with the Renegades, and then announced she was pregnant, and that put an end to her playing for Australia in the T20 Women's World Cup and playing for the Kangaroos as well. So,
yeah, exactly.
But she's a star. She'll be back next year, and look forward to seeing her in action. You got a couple of questions. Cool. You've picked up a fan base already. it's not just the kids at school.
No, let's see how it goes.
All right, Daz Broncos. I'm all on the Liv Purcell bandwagon, number one ticket holder. Once again, her inside work was great, but she excelled getting the ball out and her class to break away for that clearance to get it to Rocky for her master goal. Can't be understated. Actually, just on Rocky.
Yes.
Did she make a big deal of it?
No. I think she was really pleased. Like we said, hey, you're lucky it bounced up. And she's like, actually, I've practiced that. So I don't think she was just doing it to show off or anything like that. She's talked about that she knew the girls honing in on her, and she's faster when she's not holding the ball. Yeah. So she's really modest, Rocky, but I think definitely pleased with her standout goal and a goal of the year.
What does one get for goal of the year in AFLW?
There is a prize, actually. Phoebe Williams was up for it last year, and I think it's a monetary prize that they award at the very end of the season. Yeah, so
Rocky shout at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I can't see being beaten.
No, well, that's it. I watched, thinking back to Phoebe's, Phoebe's was Mark of the Year, actually. There's Mark of the Year and Goal of the Year.
Yeah.
One of the other Goals of the Years last year was a running, but not, I don't think it compared with Rocky's.
Yep. Back to Daz Broncos. We seemed to struggle getting the ball forward against Freo often, but when we got a clean possession, it seemed more effective. What do you see as the key to improving this?
Oh, look, I'll have to watch the game back again with the coaches. I think the defence, Freo set up their defence really well. We got out the back when we could move the ball once we did. But I think that it was just that initial, especially against the wind, getting it out of defence because they'd set up so well.
Yep. Were they bigger at the contest in terms of body size? They just seem more physically imposing than the Geelong side on the weekend.
Possibly. I think they're 4 years in the competition and that's the strength and conditioning. We've got a lot of young players, but I don't know what to put it down to at this point. I'll have to chat with the coaches and see where they see it us missing, I suppose, and getting it out.
Daz also goes on to say, compared to last season, you can see the development in the group, which is really promising. And I think compared to your scores last year, that's now the third highest Geelong score. I think you had two greater than that, one against Adelaide in Adelaide and the one against Brisbane. Where Kate Darby kicked the three goals.
The three goals, yeah.
And this sits third overall. So already, compared to your scoring last year.
Oh, definitely. And I think...
But I think that's across the competition too.
And look, we had 13 inside 50s and I think 8 scoring shots. Yeah. So a credit to the forward line in making the most of those opportunities. And yeah, let's get it in there more and keep getting scores on the board.
Okay. Winty, in AFLW, he says, saw this discussed elsewhere, I'd like to hear Renee's thoughts on this. In AFLW, 16 aside, VFLW, 18 on the ground. It seems that the two extra players on the field tend to help limit congestion as an extra player to use on the outside of the contest. Do you agree with this, and is it time to have 18 aside in the AFLW as well?
Yeah, we play 18 aside in VFLW, and we often do talk about this, the difference there, and I think that yes, space is part of the reasoning behind actually having the 16 aside, but I think if you have the more players, then you can still create the space, but you just got more options. So, look, I think the ground size is very similar. Like some of the grounds we do play are at our smaller, but we're playing at GMHBA and so are the men's with 18 aside. Yep. So I think that the coaches would be able to work it quite well to have 18 players aside and have more options up forward when we do, and particularly when there's those fast breaks, there's more opportunities for us to make the most of that. But again, I think there's powers that be that have the understanding and the reasoning. They wouldn't do it if they didn't have the thinking behind it. So there's probably more to it that I'm not aware of.
I know you're not massive on social media, but no doubt you see the discussion going on. And there, once again, as certain as death and taxes, there are people who want to bag AFLW. And you find a lot of people are just firing back, well, if you don't like it, don't comment on it.
Yeah.
Don't watch it. Does it dishearten the players when people just want to fire arrows at the concept and at AFLW?
Look, I think a lot of the girls have been in football a really long time. I think it's getting a lot better. There's a lot more people supporting it than there ever was. So there's certainly improvement from that. But I suppose in that public space, it's a different model. We haven't been in the system as long as the men's, we think about the history that they've got and the amount of time they've had put in and resourcing and all those sorts of things.
And
so,
girls coming into the pathways.
Oh, at late age and without that experience and also balancing the work life along with the footy. So, but then I think you've got to see the flip side. And for those people that are commenting in a negative space, is that really how can we say that when we're seeing those young girls now having someone to look to.
Yep.
And that's what it's about, that there is that pathway and opportunities, and it's not just in the football space but much more than that actually, that they've got role models and people to look to, and the football, we know with the more time and the season getting longer and all of the different things they're doing to improve the game, it's going to continue to build more and more. Yep. And I think people talk about score lines and all that sort of thing, but we can't make those comparisons when the time length isn't the same, and there's lots of more to it. I think sometimes people speak without knowing the whole story and without seeing the benefits of the whole thing.
Yep. As a father of two girls, women playing sport is good.
Oh, definitely.
For so long, it's been seen as a bloke's domain, and women's sports have been niche sports, and now they're in the mainstream. You probably won't comment on this, but sometimes I think there's blokes who just can't cope with it.
Yeah, look, I'm a PE teacher and I want boys and girls all participating and finding their thing, whether it's football, whether it's netball, whether it's dance, soccer, and whether you're male or female, we need to be physically active.
Because it's shown if you're physically active, the correlation is better mental health.
Oh, definitely.
In an issue, which is such an issue now in our day and age, and I think a lot of it has to do with the sedentary lifestyles that some of us live.
Yeah, and I think we should be doing everything we can to encourage that. So this is one avenue for that, and there's plenty more out there. But I think we should go, as I'm all for promoting women in sport and those pathways for our young girls coming through.
Yep. What do you have to do to beat Brisbane? I know you wouldn't have probably sat down yet with Hoodie, but is there something you've seen of Brisbane that you think, you hope you can get them?
Oh, look, I just think back to our game events from last year, and I think it's just going in with the confidence and playing the style of game that we know we can, and executing that, and not shying away from that from the very start of the game, and making the most of our opportunities when we get them.
All right. 1:10 on Sunday, GMHBA Stadium. Free entry. AFLW memberships are available from the company. They started about $50. So, show your support. All the money from that goes in towards the women's program, which is fantastic. People think, why do I need a membership when I can get in for free? Well, this is where you can actually play a role in supporting the program and making sure it's got some dollars in it to ensure that girls are getting the best that they deserve to be able to be competitive at AFLW level. Hey, mate, good to see you.
You too.
Thank you, and look forward to seeing you Sunday, and then back in here in K-Rock next week to talk hopefully about 4 points against the Brisbane Lions.
Let's hope so.
Renee Gehring joining us. This has been the Cat Attack Podcast, AFLW style, thanks to Kurz Hire on K-Rock.
Kurz Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Noisome dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KurzHire.com.au.